Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Dan and I have made it back from our wonderful illnesses over the weekend. So we kick off the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio here. I, of course, am the Big Jack. He's Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do this. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings. So you can swing over there, check out what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link. That'll take you over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man. Read.
All right, so, you know, Dan, we got to talking a little bit over Twitter on the weekend, and obviously you and I missed most of the winter meetings because we were both under the weather. I don't know what you gave us, but it was bad. But, you know, over the weekend, the Dodgers make a big, big trade, and they reacquire Matt Kemp, and in return they send the Braves four players, Charlie Culberson, Brandon McCarthy, Scott Kazmir, your guy Adrian Gonzalez, and the Braves also get $4.5 million. The Braves immediately designated Gonzalez for assignment. That's really what led you and I into the conversation because he's your guy. You know, he was hurt last year. I mean, we were kind of wondering how the Dodgers were going to handle the situation with Cody Bellinger. You know, just 71 games out of Gonzalez. You know, the question now is he done?
No, I think someone tried him.
So,
I don't know.
You know, and I, you know, obviously, you know, I think he's going to be low risk for somebody because, you know, the Dodgers owe him, you know, a little over $22 million this year. And then, well, technically, I guess the Braves technically now owe him a little over $22 million this year. You know, it is the last year of the deal. The Dodgers are only kicking in, you know, 4.5 to whatever he's owed or however that works out. But, you know, I thought right away, Dan, a landing spot for him would be Tampa Bay. You know, Logan Morrison and Lucas Duda are both free agents. You know, as of right now, I don't think they have anybody who plays first base. You know, if Gonzalez is willing to take a one-year deal, that could be a really good fit. And, you know, then he could DH. I mean, obviously he's going to have to prove he's healthy, but, you know, that was the first team that popped to mind.
Would he be able to get, you know, double pay?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to remember how they work it when he has the contract. You know, like if I remember right, I believe – whatever a team would sign him for, like I said, what I would guess would be the major league minimum, the Braves would be responsible for picking up the rest of that, you know, $22 million or whatever he's owed. So I think that's how it works. I'm not sure, but I believe. But yeah, oddly, you know, this was really reminiscent of an NBA type of trade because Gonzalez was in the last year of his deal. So was Kazmir and so was McCarthy. So the Braves are really just kind of on the hook for this 1 year and then everybody's gone except Culberson. And, you know, he's a utility guy in arbitration. So, you know, it's just kind of weird how it worked out. And I believe Kemp is signed for two years. I want to pull him up here. Let me double check that. I think he signed for 2019 as well. Yeah, but you know, the reports are that the Dodgers are just going to try to flip him, and he's actually not going to be part of the team this year. You know, all this was done to get the Dodgers below the luxury tax, which they managed to do. And of course, Dan, you know, they're planning this out for next year because they want to sign Bryce Harper.
You know, in response to that, there was a writer for CBS Sports, Mike AXISA, excuse that, I don't know. So the title of his article is "The MLBPA Has a Big Problem to Address as the Dodgers, Yankees, and Marlins Dump Salary." So, I mean, you can obviously guess where that leads. It's kind of going into, you know, it's not right, and kind of, you know, misleading you to believe that teams aren't paying players what they are owed, which, you know, they're still getting their money. But again, you know, the title of the article, MLB has a big problem to address. However, with the way the luxury cap has been set into place, what can they address, seeing as they agreed to the CBA, which is in the next 5 years? So I feel like this was just a guy who, you know, had a deadline and he was right. Because, I mean, it was, it just made no sense. And then, of course, you bring up the fact that Ohtani signed for peanuts compared to what he could have possibly signed for if he waited for two more years. But obviously, you know, why he didn't wait for those 2 years because of the issues of his arm already. So, I mean, but at the same token, Ohtani's never pitched in, you know, in the U.S. American, you know, Major League Baseball. So, I don't know how you can really determine the value. I went into the system, but I wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, the title of that article, and then into Ohtani.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, it's just certain teams that I think have, you know, might have issues. I mean, the big money teams are always going to be the big money teams. I mean, there's, you know, there's no problem with the Yankees. There's no problem with the Dodgers, the Red Sox, the Cubs. I mean, you can go through and you can, you know, you can run these teams off. You know, it's those, you know, it's either the teams that are bad and can't draw fans, or, you know, it's teams that overspend and try to play with the big boys and get themselves in trouble. And, you know, like with the Marlins situation is totally different because everybody knew coming in that Jeter and his group didn't really have the capital to own the team. So immediately the first thing they were going to do is dump salary. Well, who was the biggest fish in that barrel? Well, Giancarlo Stanton. So now he's gone. You know, I mean, that was painfully obvious once the sale went through. And I get it. You want former players in the game, and especially a guy like Jeter, but you know, I think he needed a better group, you know, and especially with what the prices of these franchises are going for now, it's just ridiculous the way these things have jumped. I mean, how are the Marlins worth billions of dollars when they can't draw fans? You know, I don't understand how that works out. I mean, I would guess the team probably loses money, but yet it's sold for, you know, whatever, a billion plus dollars. You know, business-wise, that makes zero sense. Yeah, you know, business-wise, that, I mean, I remember my accounting, you want the pluses to be bigger than the minuses. And, you know, in this case, I don't think that will be. You know what I mean? Especially now, they're going to have a handful of issues. You know, I saw today that JT Realmuto is insisting on being traded. And I guess Christian Yelich has finally stepped up and voiced his displeasure, said he's willing to give front office a little chance to see how they handle this. But if it's not to his liking, well, then he wants out too. So, you know, you're looking at a team that's going to lose 100 games for the, you know, probably the next 3 or 4 seasons. That's not going to be good for their money or attendance either. But, you know, getting back to your article, I think it was like you said. I think it was a guy who was on a deadline and needed a headline. You know, he needed a headline grabber because, you know, the game doesn't seem to be in that bad a shape. I mean, what I've noticed now is reporters always want to say that, no matter what sport they're talking about, except for some reason the NBA. You know, but like, you know, the NFL is in trouble financially, and, you know, the NHL is always financially in trouble, and now baseball is financially in trouble, and, you know, I'm sure the PGA Tour or, you know, whatever else is out there is in financial trouble. That seems to be the first thing they jump on, but, you know, franchises aren't folding. You know, ticket prices aren't going down. Fans are still going to games. You know, it's just the fact, I think a lot of it has to do with it's old guys like me who just haven't quite figured out how to relate to all the new ways to watch games and take in games yet. And I think that affects our judgment of a game and, you know, how it kind of works out. So I'm kind of along the lines of you. I think it's just the guy who was reaching for a headline, and that's what he came up with. You know, or his editor threw one at him, hey, write about this.
Yeah, well, and it's funny because, you know, I thought I was, like, the only one, because I saw it shortly after it was posted. And, of course, this one I had to read about. And then after I made my comment, you know, there was a couple who made one before me, but everyone pretty much was around the same is in agreement. They're like, what did you even write this for?
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, that, you know, that's one of those things. I mean, you and I could sit down and write that right now if we wanted to. Mm-hmm. You know.
You know, the Players Association needs to address this. Well, they did, and they came up with a CBA and agreed to it. That's why the teams are dumping salary.
Yeah, you know, and this is really simple, especially, you know, I've been part of a union for a long time now, and I have a lot of experience with this. The first and foremost thing the union wants for its employees is more money. Bottom line, they're not looking for anything else but more money. You know, that's all they're going to take right up front. And that, you know, especially like my union is willing to just about horse trade anything that the employees value for more money, because more money equals more dues, and more dues equal more cash in the lining of the pockets who run the guys who run the union. So, you know, that's their bottom line. So yeah, they're not going to care one bit about anything except getting more money. So, you know, yeah, just kind of, you know, I don't know, goofy, you know, goofy stuff there. But, you know, I did bring up the point, and I want to jump back to your guy Gonzalez here a little bit. You know, I kind of tweeted over the weekend here, if you're thinking he's a Hall of Famer at this point, and I got to hunt his stats down here. You know, he played in parts of 14 seasons. He became a full-timer back in 2016. He is a .288 lifetime career hitter. He's got 311 bombs. He drove in 1,176 runs. He does have 432 doubles. Not a terrible strikeout-to-walk ratio. He struck out 1,367 times. He walked 767. So, you know, he's not one of those doubled up guys. He is a five-time All-Star. He's won four Gold Gloves, if people consider defense. And he is a two-time silver slugger winner at the first base position. He has career, what he's got. He's only got a career 2010 hits. I don't know. Are they big enough numbers? And I know, you know, a lot of it hurt. You know, he spent, how many years was that there? 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 5 years playing in San Diego when the ballpark was gigantic. He did hit 40 home runs there 1 year, which is quite a surprise to see, because that's when, I think it was Petco, I might still be called that, was just an enormous park, and guys didn't want to go there because, you know, nobody could hit home runs. But yeah, I don't know. You know, there's, you know, is there enough on that resume for him to get in?
I don't know. I feel like he falls a little short, and especially time in Boston, limited time in Boston. You know, how that kind of soured you. Wonder how that will affect the voters.
Yeah, you know, and he is, he's been in the top 20 in the MVP voting 7 different times. The highest he ever finished was 4th. So, you know, while he does get those mentions there, you know, he doesn't have any, you know, any real, you know, MVP power behind it. Yeah, I just, you know, I'm wondering if he's one of those guys who falls into the category where he was a very good player, but he's just not a Hall of Fame player.
I kind of agree with you on that one.
So, you know, then what else I found humorous about that trade, and I'm wondering if you're kind of in the same boat I am here. Did you know that Scott Kazmir was actually with the Dodgers last year?
Did he even play?
No, he actually didn't play, so my guess is he was out with an arm injury. You know, he didn't pitch in any games last year. But yeah, when I saw his name in the trade, I actually had to go look it up because I just assumed he was out of baseball again. And I was just kind of like, wait, he's still on the roster? So, but yeah, he was a Dodger. Now he's a Brave. What did they have the signing here? Yeah, he signed a 3-year deal in 2016, and he made almost $18 million to not pitch last season. So they don't have the injury, guessing it's, you know, an arm thing or something.
Yeah, that wasn't the wise salary or contract.
Yeah. So, he was 10-6 in 2016. You know, he made 26 starts then, but they don't say, I'm surprised they don't have a little more detail on him with what's going on, especially now that his name came up in a trade. So,
yeah, but I mean, even it, I mean, I guess you were going on the fact that, you know, 2013, he started 29 times, 14 in Oakland, he started 32 times. And then, you know, in 2015 between Oakland and Houston, he had 31 starts. You know, oddly, yeah, 2013, you know, for 29 starts, he only had 158 innings. You know, he doesn't walk that many guys, and he struck out a lot of guys. Didn't get come close to 200 in either 3 of those years. But, I mean, I guess when you're looking at it, it was tiny, but I think they, you know, in retrospect, should have only gone with 1 year. I don't know why you go with a 3-year contract on a guy who hasn't really proven anything.
Yeah, they the report I found here is he had a hip injury in spring training, and that led to some poor pitching performances, you know, during spring training, and that put him on the disabled list. And when he made his first set of minor league rehab starts in June, he had issues again, so they shut him down. He did make some rehab starts at the end of the year last year for, you know, good old Rancho Cucamonga. But yeah, not a, you know, never, you know, obviously never made it, you know, anywhere. Let's see, they've got him. Looks like he made 3 starts and pitched in 4 games, covered all of 12 innings. So yeah, he pitched 12 innings at high class A last year. That was his season. So I don't know if, you know, nobody knows if, you know, they don't report on if he's healthy or, you know, what goes on here. So I don't know if he'll actually be part of the Braves or, you know, if he could be possibly another guy they DFA. He is left-handed, so that always kind of, you know, makes these guys come around. But, I know the Braves are looking for starters, but, you know, who knows? You know, and then, you know, McCarthy is just as injury-prone. I know he pitched last year. I thought I saw 16 starts for him last year. I thought it was like 16 starts and 19 games or something like that. Let me double-check and make sure I have that right real quick here. Yeah, 16 starts, 19 games. He was 6-4 with a 3.98 ERA. So he wasn't terrible, but, you know, he hasn't made 30 starts since 2014 when he, you know, the combined season with the Diamondbacks and the Yankees. Since he's been with the Dodgers, he's pitched in 4 games, 10 games, and 19 games. So, you know, I'm not quite, you know, like I said, with the exception of, the salary dump and the Braves getting out from under all these contracts at the end of the year, I don't think or know if this trade helps them, does it?
No, not really. I don't really think it does anything.
So, you know, but what's McCarthy making next here? Yeah, he makes $11.5 million. So, you know, another guy. So, yeah, you know, they added, you know, I mean, I know the Braves, you know, they needed some starting pitching. I don't know if this is what they meant. You know, I know they wanted some veteran guys to add so they wouldn't have to rely so much on their younger guys. And, you know, I mean, at this point, I mean, they probably would have just been better off bringing R.A. Dickey back, wouldn't they?
I was going to ask to be even playing more. You know, I think it's just a matter of being able to put a product on the field. And not to, let's not forget it.
Yeah, because, you know, because right field. Now,
not just
you know, their projected rotation right now is you know, they're going with, it looks like Julio Teheran is going to be their number one. They have Sean Newcomb at 2, Mike Foltynewicz at 3, and then they have McCarthy and Kazmir rounding out as their 4 and 5. So, you know, we'll have to, have to see if or how or, you know, any of it works out. But, I guess it does. You know, they of course have the top-ranked farm system, or they did at one point in time until all those guys got taken away from them. And, you know, you just got to wonder. Yeah, you know, like, you know, you and I talked about Aaron Blair, and he was kind of a bust last year. But, you know, now if McCarthy and Kazmir are healthy, they don't have to, you know, they don't have to rush these guys into the rotation, and they can give them another year. You know, there's guys like Aaron Blair and Lucas Sims. And what is it? I think Matt Whistler made some starts last year for them. So they have some guys. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, if for how they want to handle them, and we'll have to see. But yeah, again, it was another situation. I mean, we talked about kind of how it seemed like the Marlins did the Yankees a favor. It's almost like the Braves did the Dodgers a favor here.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess whatever. Yeah, you know, to try to get them in line to get Bryce Harper. So, you know, and if not, they can always get Machado, one of those other guys who is, you know, out there. So.
Yeah, but if you talk to Uncle Bob, he's all in. There's no one getting Bryce Harper but the Cubs. All because of his little fly posting on the internet.
Yeah, you know, and you know, the sad part is that's all we're going to hear all season from Cub fans like that, is that Bryce Harper's mm-hmm. coming to Chicago. That's just simply how it's going to, work out. You know, it's going to be, hey, look at this. So, you know, he's going to be a Cub. He's going to sign with the Cubs because him and Chris Bryant are friends. guys, it's not the NBA.
Well, and the other, Well, and the other thing is he's like, you know, he talks about how he loves the city, he loves Wrigley Field. I'm like, yeah, but every player that comes to Chicago says they love playing there. And any guy who is coming up on free agency is not going to say a bad thing about a city or a team, regardless of the location.
Yeah, that would be the stupidest thing he could do. You know, I mean, that's kind of how it, kind of goes. I mean, even if it's a team you despise and you would never play for, you're not going to say anything, you know, anything bad about it at all. But, I didn't hear anything about this signing, but I vaguely remember you having this guy, I believe, last year in your fantasy team. I saw that Yovani Gallardo signed a deal to go back to Milwaukee.
It's not a bad deal.
They didn't have terms of the deal released or anything, so I don't know years or money or anything like that. But, you know, it looks like they, you know, the depth chart has him plugged in right in the middle of the rotation. Now, you know, a lot's going to depend on if and when Jimmy Nelson comes back. You know, he messed up his shoulder on that stupid slide. I think that was against the Cubs in, September. So who knows how long he'll be out. You know, they do still have Chase Anderson and Zach Davies at the top. And then, you know, they plug it in. They got Gallardo as the third guy with Junior Guerrero and Brandon Woodruff as 4 and 5. Guerrero was bad last year, so he's going to have to bounce back if they're going that route. But, yeah, I thought it was kind of an interesting thing that he gets to go back. You know, obviously he spent the majority of his career with the Brewers before he went to Baltimore first and then Seattle last year.
Baltimore. Yeah, the one thing I never understood with him being such a power hitter, honestly being a great hitter coming off, you know, the 9-hole, why National League teams didn't pursue him more so than the American League teams.
Yeah, and to be fair, I actually lied. It was Texas first, then it was Baltimore and Seattle. So, the weird thing is, you know, the guy makes it starts. Like when he was with the Brewers, he had, 6 consecutive years or 30 or more starts. He made 33 with Texas that year, had a solid year, 13-11, with a 3.42 ERA. Ran into trouble with Baltimore, and then wasn't great with Seattle either. But, you know, you wonder if maybe going back, you know, he'll be better off.
Well, you know, he'll be in a familiar place. Being a familiar,
you know what
place,
I mean. He was the Brewers' ace for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, and he can hit grand slams.
But yeah, he spent parts of 8 years with the Brewers. 89-64 with a 3.69 ERA, 214 total games, but 211 of them were starts. You know, I don't expect him to be, at one point he won 17 games for him. He's not that guy anymore. But, you know, if they're going to be a good team, he can get you double-digit wins if, he keep you in games. And, they have a pretty good bullpen. So, if they do that, I mean, I was a little surprised they didn't try a little harder to bring Anthony Swarzak back, and he ended up with the Mets. They have plenty of young setup guys they can use in his place. We'll just have to see. But, I just kind of thought it was an interesting signing.
Yeah, well, and they're out from under Matt Garza. So
yes.
We'll see if they land another former Cub pitcher for too long of too much money. Jake Arrieta.
Yeah, well, you know, they're not going, you know, they're not going $200 million, so he ain't going there. You know, if those are his demands, if those are his demands and he sticks to them, he ain't going to Milwaukee. They're not paying that. So, but, you know, and I was, the other thing I was happy to see, and, you know, I'm not a Yankee fan at all or anything to that effect, but I was happy to see that they brought CeCe back on a one-year deal. You know, he did agree. It's 1 year, $10 million. You know, 37, he'll be 38 in the middle of the year. But I think people forget actually how good he was last year. You know, he was 14-5 with a 3.69 ERA. Now, you know, he did only make 27 starts, but, you know, you and I have talked about this a million times. That's kind of the new way in baseball. It's going to be harder and harder to see guys get the 30 starts. So, but, again, it was just one of the things I thought it was cool.
You know, and he, for a guy who had a short stint on the DL to still come out and make 27 starts, you know, if he had been healthy the entire season, we could have possibly seen 30, 32 starts on him.
Yeah. You know, he did make four playoff starts, two against Cleveland, two against Houston. He actually had an 0.96 ERA against the Astros. So he was very close to helping the Yankees get into the World Series. You know, I don't know if he'll win 14 games again, but I think he can get back to that area. You know, he seems to have kind of adjusted to his age, I guess you could say. You know, he doesn't blow people away anymore. You know, he's not the guy. He great strikeout to walk ratio. He struck out 120 guys, only walked 50 last year. So, you know, you can definitely use those kind of guys. And, you know, again, I assume he'll probably get right around this number of starts. He'll probably get 25 to 27 starts, and, you know, he'll be just fine. But, yeah, that was, you know, there's certain times I, you know, it's just like, yeah, he should go back there. I hope they re-sign him, and in this case they did. So.
Yeah. Now, bouncing back to the Cubs, Tyler Chatwood was signed. I don't know if we got to that, if we were both out with wonderfulness. But, I mean, there was a couple other that I just can't get off the top of my head. And that, you know, the rumor is, hey, Travis Wood, come back to Chicago. If that's possible, I don't know. If he would get the Ohtani deal where he'd pitch and play the outfield. But I mean, with Tyler Chatwood, you pretty much feel like the Jake Arrieta ship has sailed and we don't have to worry about that. I mean, there's not been much talk or rumors about it, but are you pretty much on the train that, you know, he's done, he's out of Chicago?
Yeah, oh yeah, he's definitely done. You know, especially now there's reports are that the Cubs are setting up meetings with Yu Darvish. So it looks like that's the route they're going to go instead of even trying to pursue Arrieta. You know, they're going to go a different way and look at you. And, you know, I was really surprised after they signed Chatwood. I just assumed they'd bring John Lackey back because he said he wants to pitch one more year. I figured he'd come back one more year and be their fifth guy. But I don't even think they've had conversations with him. But, yeah, apparently right now Darvish is their top target. You know, and then they, you know, they would add him to, you know, the rotation, which would be, of course, you know, Lester, Quintana, Hendricks, and then Chatwood. You know, you would plug Darvish in. If not, you know, if they, you know, don't bring anybody in, everybody seems to kind of be pointing to Montgomery, but I don't know if they can take him out of the bullpen. You know, like the guys they sign, you know, there's no guarantee Smiley's going to pitch. We don't know if Morrow will hold up. And, you know, I know everybody was really excited about Steve Cishek, but he's been bad his last few stops. So, you know, a lot of overexcitement, I think, for guys that there's a lot of questions about.
Yeah. I mean, I do like the title change, but I think we did talk about this one, you know, obviously,
yeah,
you know, let's skip them when we get to Colorado. I think that's a good plan to go with. But, you know, from my sources close to the league, Montgomery wants to start, and I don't think he wants to take that option of being, you know, the fifth, possibly sixth starter if needed, and then going back to the bullpen for, you know, another 3 to 6 weeks, you know, waiting for, you know, John Lester to have a little issue where he needs to, you know, go on the DL. And it's interesting, like, the new strategy is bringing up, the 10-day DL. You know, I don't know if Montgomery has to sit out there and wait for Lester or Quintana, which I don't think Quintana has issues, but, even if they were to sign you, to wait for those guys to, you know, kind of get put on that 10-day DL to start. I think he really wants to get somewhere to start. And I know this one, I don't know if you would call it a shot in the dark, but maybe it is. You brought up John Lackey. And, I mean, he's really not a threat on the base. Not that you're looking for a pitcher for, you know, his batting stats. But if he's looking to pitch one more year with everything that's been going on in Los Angeles, do you think maybe they would bring him back for one more to round out that rotation?
Yeah, I know they've got a lot of guys who are coming back from injury, so I guess it would depend where some of their younger guys are. But, you know, it's always a possibility there, you know, because that's obviously where he really kind of made the name for himself. But there are some other places, you know, I know like Minnesota is having a difficult time getting big name starters to come in. You know, they've kicked the tires on all the big names and nobody seems to be interested in being a Twin. So they're going to have to fill out that rotation. But it would be interesting to see him go back to the Angels and kind of wrap up his career there on a 1-year deal like that. But, I just don't know if it'll happen. So, but we did have another signing today, and it ended up being, I think, caught most people by surprise. The Red Sox actually decided that they're going to bring Mitch Moreland back. He got 2 years for a total of $13 million. So obviously it's a very team-friendly deal. A lot of the complaints was that Moreland didn't hit for any power. Now, you know, he hit 22 home runs, but also hit 34 doubles in that park. He was just a .246 hitter. So it seems more and more like with this signing that the Red Sox are going to be out of the Eric Hosmer Derby, because there was a lot of talk that he was somebody they were looking at. But I think now by bringing Moreland back and, you know, kind of working these things around, I definitely think that puts them out on Hosmer. I know they're still supposed to be the big team in on J.D. Martinez, but they're going to have to move an outfielder to do that. And Jackie Bradley Jr.'s name has come up time and time again. So, we'll have to see. But I would assume Moreland comes in. Now, you know, they still have Hanley Ramirez, but, you know, they're righty-lefty, so they could platoon them at any point they could decide they would want to do it. I was a little surprised. I thought they were going to go with am I going to butcher his name again? Was it Sam Horn? Is that what I decided his name was last week when I talked to him or talked about him? Or 2 weeks ago now, it was just one of those things. I really thought they liked him and they were going to kind of go that route and see if he could be the everyday first baseman. But I guess they liked Moreland enough to bring him back and, you know, take a look at him. He is only 31 and, you know, there's no slouch at being, and it's Sam Travis, not Sam Horn. I don't know why the heck I keep doing that. But, there's 22 home runs isn't bad for, anybody. But, yeah, we'll see how they decide to juggle it up and, you know, what other moves they kind of make. But it was definitely a surprise to most guys that they decided to bring him back. and we'll just, you know, we'll have to see how they handle it. So.
Sam Horn.
Yeah, I can't, for some reason, you know, I think Sam Horn was a Red Sox back in the day, and that's why I continue to get the name goofed up. And I actually think he may have been a first baseman. And I, you know, that just kind of goofs me up there. And it's just like, you know, it's like, okay, wait a second. Why do I keep instead Sam Travis? But I have to look here. Cause yeah, there was a Sam Horn who played for the Red Sox for 3 years, 87, 88, and 89. And he was a first baseman. So he had an 8-year career. Well, he had an 8-year career, but only played in 300. So he did go up and down quite a bit. A 240 career hitter. Did hit 62 home runs. He hit 23 one year with the Orioles in 1991. So.
Oh, Sam Horn.
Yes. So, yeah, that's where I keep getting the name goofed up at. But it's Sam Travis is the Red Sox prospect. So we'll, you know, we'll see how that all works out.
Yeah, I feel like the weekend definitely flew by. You know, there's no need to really talk Bears football, which I was laughing Sunday morning when I jumped in the car because, you know, the tagline or, you know, the drawing. Oh, just tune in. You know, we'll be back after this break and we'll talk more Bears. What is there to talk about? The team is, you know, like, I don't know. And for me, I guess I just fell out of the whole NFL, and it has nothing to do with the protest. I just, season, I don't know, it's kind of dragged on for me. So I'm glad I guess, you know, I think what makes a difference, Big Jack, and I believe you made the playoffs. For me, not being a huge football guy, I think when my team just can't get it together fantasy-wise, it just kind of puts a little bit of a damper on your season. You know, even watching this season as it is. Do you kind of get that way too?
Yeah, it does definitely kind of drag you down when your team is just, for whatever reason, they can't get going, or, you know, in my case, they're, you know, injured quite a bit, and you're battling through all that. You know, like you said, you did mention, I did make the playoffs in one league, but my team is so beat up that I'm just getting annihilated. So it's not even going to be a contest there. So just, one of those things that, you know, happened this year. Yeah. I can say, hey, cool, I did get into the playoffs, but yeah, I didn't have much of a chance after that. And, you know, it can be difficult to watch. I mean, there's a lot of bad football out there. I mean, you know, you talked about the Bears, and they're, you know, they're a continual embarrassment. You know, this team is just really kind of clueless on, you know, what they're doing. And then, you know, like the, you know, this, you know, was the last Thursday night game, but, you know, the Broncos and the Colts have had horrible years, and,
well,
you know, neither of the Saturday were good. Yeah, well, the Chiefs finally bounced back, but it took them, you know, how many weeks? They were 5-0, and now they're 8-6. But,
yeah,
you know, that
was
a terrible game. The Chargers, you know, the Chargers have been playing really well, and then they stunk. So, you know, we were lucky enough to get the Vikings-Bengals game, and they went away from that at halftime because the Bengals were just horrible. You know, we didn't get the Seahawks game, and they were an embarrassment to the NFL yesterday. I don't know what the heck happened to them. So, you know, it's just bad football. I mean, the Texans got destroyed. You know, I mean, probably the best game was the 49ers-Titan game, and nobody's watching that. You know, and then it's to the point where, you know, the officiating and just kind of the stupidity of the officiating, you know, it ruins the game for you in a lot of ways. Like I tweeted yesterday, I think you were out because you didn't get back to me. There was a clear call in the Carolina game where the guy did not make a catch in the end zone. The refs got the call right. They called it incomplete. Carolina challenged it, and they overturned it and called it a touchdown. And it was just like, okay, what did you see that this was a touchdown? Because he clearly didn't catch he didn't have the football. But then in reverse at the night game, the Steeler game, boy, man, it sure looked like Jesse James caught that ball going into the end zone. And then it moved when it touched the ground, and they called it incomplete because he didn't complete the process of the catch, which is the stupidest rule since, you know, baseball had that one where you had to be able to take the ball out of the glove or whatever that one year or part of that year when they did that rule. So, you know, that was just kind of, you know, I mean, if you're a fan of either of those teams or you're watching those games, you're just a football fan. You know, that turns you off when you can't even get common sense right.
I mean,
you know, it was just kind of like, okay, well, I see what they are.
With the NFL being the NFL and kind of the leader, innovator with the instant replay and all that crap, which they really aren't because they didn't start in the college game. But after all this time and the BS over the last couple of years, I don't understand why they haven't gone to a single, you know, group of five guys and I don't know how many games it's every Sunday, but why they don't have a team up in New York, wherever they're headquartered. I mean, Fox Sports always has like their instant replay guy where, you know, hey Bob, what, you know, I know his name's not Bob, but you know, some former official who just has a suit and in some studio. Maybe he's not even in a studio. Maybe he's at home. It's just a nice little backdrop, green screen for you. And, you know, while we're waiting 5 minutes for these guys to deliberate over what you can clearly see in 30 seconds that Fox has told us, well, no, they would, if I were, you know, the referee in this call, I would have called it, you know, whatever, reverse, whatever. Don't you think it's high time that, or they're way behind on not moving to a centralized location and not even looking at this crap on the field? It should be conducted in, you know, New York, so to speak. We're on a night's table with Roger Goodell.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. You know, there's got to be a better and, of course, faster way to do it. You know, like you and I have the same problem with baseball with the fact that it's just, you know, an embarrassment that these things take so long. And, you know, like, yeah, you know, like I looked at that replay multiple times in the Carolina game and wasn't a touchdown. They gave him a touchdown. And, you know, my guess is either A, they needed Carolina to win the game for playoff purposes, or B, they had money on it. But, you know, it just one of those things. And, you know, it was like this was he didn't catch the ball. You know, and then when you see a guy who clearly caught the ball, and to be fair, by the letter of the NFL rule, those referees got the game right they got the call right in the Pittsburgh game. By league rule, that was not a catch. Now, clearly, common sense-wise, it's a catch, but they went exactly by the letter of the league rule where it wasn't a catch, and it was just stupid.
And what's your take on, you know, folding a piece of paper in half and to help determine the first down?
Yeah, I didn't understand that at all. I mean, I've heard people talk about it even today, and I still don't understand it. I don't know how that helped him or assisted him in making the call. So...
you know, and when we talk about baseball, I forget the system that can track, you know, and I'm not talking the launch angle or any of that crap, but when a home run is hit, you know, they follow it and they're able to tell you, well, it went, you know, 427 and a third feet, and, you know, landed in feet, you know, section 201, row 5, feet 4, 6, or, you know, 4 feet, whatever you wanted to do it. How come after all this time they don't have that technology for the NFL? Or does it just come down to, like you always bring up, does it come down to union BS and having to employ two guys to hold sticks on the sides of the field?
Yeah, you know, that would be interesting because I don't know how the, you know, the union rules affect that type of, you know, a draw with that, or how kind of, you know, play those things out. But yeah, you know, you have to start to wonder, you know, why they can figure all this stuff out, but yet the simplest thing of like measuring a fourth first down, or, you know, wanting to know if a guy caught the football, they can't get right. So I just don't.
It was something I never really thought about till I heard it this morning on whatever the Mothership's morning show is now, because, you know, it's not Mike and Mike. Unless they got a different mic to fill the mic spot. But, you know, someone brought it up, and then I changed it because I was like, whatever. Just going to ramble on, same stuff. But, you know, I never really thought about it, I guess, until after, you know, switching the channel. But, I mean, really, what is the purpose of those guys? And with today's technology, with the cameras, I mean, they'll show an instant replay, and not even an instant replay, like Amazon Web Services, check this out. And, you know, it's an interception, and they do that full 360-degree rotation, which is really cool, you know, how they do that. So, again, if you have all that technology to do that, you're telling me you can't spot a ball with that? I mean, you know, I'm going to date myself with this one, but Kmart has security cameras that a security guard up in a booth, so to speak, nowhere near the register, and the security camera is approximately 10-plus feet above, you know, the register, maybe even 20 feet, can zero in and zoom in on your license and ID and read it perfectly. Because I had a friend who worked security, and he brought me in there before the days of, you know, all the negligible crap. But, you know, he showed me the technology, and this was back in the 90s. You're telling me in the last 20, 30 years, they don't have the technology where they can spot a ball or spot where a guy's down with the technology? Instead, they're relying on a guy who's, you know, how many feet away? I guess the line or the guy who grabs the ball and puts it down spots it. But, I mean, you got all these guys on the field with striped suits on. Is it really that necessary?
Yeah, well, you know, like the guys on the sidelines who hold the first down marker, I think now more than anything, you know, with the invent of replay and all the other stuff, are strictly there for the players. So, you know, like the player can see how far they have to go to, you know, get a first down and stuff like that. Because obviously, you know, the one yellow line is put on there by the television broadcast, and the players can't see that. You know, it's invisible to them. But, yeah, you would think they would have a better grasp of where the ball goes. Now, to be fair on that play, it was quite a pile up after the quarterback sneak. So even with a replay, there's no way you could have said, okay, well, the ball goes here. So, you know, just one of those goofy, you know, goofy things. But, yeah, it just seems like this should be better and faster and, you know, that kind of stuff. And it seems like just as much as any other time they get it wrong and it takes forever. So, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm as lost as everybody else. So.
Kind of rolls into the frustration of watching the NFL as technology gets better, but they seem to lack in catching up with it.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, you keep hoping, you know, that they're going to figure it out, or they're going to find, you know, what I almost want to say are younger guys to move into the, you know, the NFL office, because, you know, where you're dealing with a lot of guys here, you know, Goodell is what, pushing 65, and, you know, a lot of the other guys who've been on the board there are, you know, they're there as well. You just wonder if maybe, you know, maybe a little bit of youth would kind of help out.
Yeah, you know who might have the answer to this, and I know it's just a rumor. I didn't really dive too deep into it, because if it happens, it happens. But, you know, lighting the fire under the NFL's proverbial butt might be something that Vince McMahon can handle by bringing back the XFL.
Yeah, you know, I don't know who Brad Sherwood or Brad Shepard, one of the two. I don't know who this guy is, or maybe it's a girl just using that name, but they've had a lot of WWE news lately. And yeah, you mentioned one of them is, you know, Vince did some copywriting. You know, he copywrote the term or the phrase, it might have been UFL for United Football League.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that started a lot of rumors that there is, you know, talk that we're going to see the XFL again, you know, as a summer league, or a, you know, possibly something that's going to be direct NFL competition. Yeah, here I can tell you he trademarked URFL and then UFL. And he also contracted the name United Football League and the phrase "for the love of football." So yeah, that's you know, that's where they are. And it's Brad Shepard was the name. I knew it was one of the two. But yeah, this guy's been breaking WWE rumors. Know who he is, or where they, you know, where they found him, or, you know, how it kind of works out. But, you know, yeah, and that's always a possibility. I mean, it could be an employee, you know, I mean, not like anybody hasn't ever done that before. You know, you pay somebody to leak your news and get it out there. And, you know, make it seem like a, you know, a big story. But, you know, this guy's name is. So, we'll have to see if he's right on this one. Oh, all right. Well, hey, look at that. Dan and I made it through the first show of the week. So hopefully the rest of the week goes smooth. Meet us here at 5:30 tomorrow. We'll go live again. But you know the deal while we're gone. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out what goes on over there. Follow the link over to the Facebook page and give that a like, please. But don't forget the Twitter feed, which is @SportsTimeRadio. Now, you know, Dan and I are on Twitter as well if you want to hunt us down. As always, a big thanks for you coming on here and listening to us live. But don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want over at TuneIn.com.